Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to add something that I think could be really crucial if you happen to struggle with the same things that I was describing in my last podcast episode. So basically, I was telling you guys that I had Bell's palsy. I had it in 2010 and I had it in 2020. And both times I had it, it was very much stress-induced regarding things that were, I would say, out of my control. And I should say for the most part, they were out of my control. One of them was definitely rooted in my own low self-esteem, though. I can see that now. It had to do with a relationship, a personal relationship. The second time I had complex PTSD, it had to do actually with my primary abuser and letting them back into my life, which again was my choosing, but at the same time, it was more catastrophic than I was aware of. So it was things that were within my control, but at the same time, outside of my control, because you can't predict other people's behavior. And I think I was in a bit of a state of shock the second time it happened, to be quite honest. And I will also say, this is what I want to point out, though, is that in both instances, what was happening was what some people might call cognitive dissonance. And it's basically where you can't make things make sense. It's where your mind kind of explodes. And the other scenario, is it's almost like a feeling of a catch-22. You're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't, right? And I want to point out something really quick as a side note here. If you've ever struggled with cognitive dissonance, where you struggle with making sense of two things that may seem polar opposite, there's two points here. One is, and this is what I really want to stress with this episode, one is the options that you're thinking might be very limited. So open your horizons to more options to how you will move forward if, like, let's say a narcissist comes into your world and everything you do, you just can't get rid of them. Let's find new options to cope with that. Let's find new ways of moving forward. It's not the end all of the end all, right? Because that was usually my mindset. I was being very narrow-minded in my thought process, and that's why I think I wound up with such dramatic stress that it manifested as a somatization, or it manifested as a bodily reaction. I've also had psoriasis before, and in my case, my psoriasis was absolutely stress-induced. So my body shows me when I'm stressed, right? And in this case, it was two occasions of Bell's palsy. It was something very dramatic. And another thing I want to add is nutrition is a big part of that too, not just vitamins and, you know, keeping up on vitamins to help with your nerves, but food, your nutrition has a big role in your body's health. But stress is just a huge contributing factor. So there are other ways, there are other options, and that's very important. If you feel like you're stuck in a catch-22, where your mind is racked, and it's almost like you're needing logic to come in, because like I said, I'm not a logical thinker, but I'm a critical thinker. And with critical thinking, we tend to be problem solvers. But we also tend to jump down rabbit holes. And you don't want to jump down rabbit holes, right? So sometimes in a case like this, when you feel like you're stuck in a catch-22, you need that logical thinker to step in. In instances like that, I would probably just get on YouTube and watch some videos by logical thinking people, or play logic games, or, you know, read books that are right to the point. They're more logical. So for example, And in the first case that I had Bell's palsy, again, it felt like the end of the world. The day before that it all happened, it felt like the end of the world. I thought the world was over. It was done. I was toast. And it had to do with a relationship that it ended. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And I would have been like 28 at the time, I guess. But I thought I was going to be with this person for like the rest of my life. And it just didn't happen. And I was clueless. I was clueless to it, right? And so I couldn't see the forest for the trees or whatever you want to call it. I just saw despair. And my mind was not thinking logically that day. I was not thinking logically at all. And I was also in my own head, right? I probably should have sought out outside help, somebody to talk to. But, you know, I needed a different route. I needed other options to say, well, maybe this just means that there's somebody better out there for you. Or maybe this is a good thing. And it actually was a good thing, because I found out years later, the person was basically using me for a particular thing. And I never knew that at the time, but multiple people told me that. And I was like, well, I'm glad to know it now. I didn't know it then, but you know, I later found out that they do this with everybody. They use people for particular things. And the funny thing is that person was actually getting their doctorate to be a psychologist, which I find hilarious, because from my own experience, I've known people who have studied psychology, and most, I would say, are good. Most people actually want to help people. But there's a good percentage of people who study psychology because they're either quackers or they're trying to figure out themselves, and they're a covert narcissist or whatever. But most people actually want to help people. Most people are not like that. And this person, by the way, never became a psychologist. They probably didn't pass some ethics test or morality test. I don't know what kind of test you have to pass, but something didn't work out. I don't know what it was, because, you know, we ended up not being together. But they don't do it. They don't work in that field. So maybe that's a good thing. But so one key thing is, I just want to say, open yourself up to different perspectives if you feel like you're stuck in a catch-22. That's number one. A second key thing I just want to add as a side note really quick, though, is the bad part, if you've ever been in a catch-22 like that, which I've been in twice, and like I said, I've been in catch-22s before, but if you just feel like you're stuck in like a circular argument in your own head, where there's just no answer, the really bad route or the bad path that can lead to, and it did for me for, I would say, about 3 years. And this happened after the event in particular, but it got worse, I would say, when I had my second round of Bell's palsy when I was 38. I really shut down. I shut down because I didn't want to care about anybody, and I didn't want to have feelings for anybody. I didn't want to open up. I was hopeless at the time. And I think my mentality was, if I completely stop caring about people altogether, this crap is not going to happen again. If I completely let go of all my love and let go of all my fear, I don't have to worry about a catch-22 emotionally ever again, right? So you really just numb yourself. You are just devoid of anything other than self-satisfying pleasure, whatever that may be. And for me, that was drinking, right? That was drinking beer. It was a substance, and that doesn't lead to anything good. That just leads to problems. And so luckily I've been able to overcome these things, you know, in what's this, 2024. So since 2020, you know, that was the second time I had it. And I would just say I really did shut down a lot more after that. I just numb. But I also let that primary abuser back into my life. So maybe that's another part of why I numb myself. So they couldn't like affect me. You know, if they did try to affect me, just have a blank stare, just have no response. You know, and that only works so long before it starts affecting you. So, you know, you might be trying to have them not impact you, to maybe kind of shut them up or get them to stop acting that way. But eventually it affects you. It affects your life. And so in a way, it's like you're, you know, you don't want that to happen. Let's just put it that way. But again, with the catch 22 thing, it's very important that you open your mind, and maybe say to yourself, at least if you're in the same situation, that maybe there's some learned behavior there where it's causing you to be narrow-minded about what your solutions could be. Because I do think that we learn that narrow-mindedness when you grow up in abuse. It shuts things off. And I already said before, if you're a people pleaser, if you're like a neutral person, a Switzerland type person, you may be that way because you're afraid of conflict, but there may be that part of your brain that literally is not activating right. And all you're seeing is fight or flight. And that part of your brain that says, you can solve this problem. There's no problem here. That part of your brain isn't activating right. It's saying run, run, run. It's saying fear. You know, that's a huge part of PTSD, is that part of our brain doing that. And so it would make sense that we can feel like we're in a catch-22 when actually there might be avenues of solutions that we're not seeing, because all we're thinking is fight or flight. There's only two options here. So then our body just kind of shuts down. You know, it's like our body reacts and it feels paralyzed. So I went paralyzed, right? It happened twice. But both times it was like a life-altering situation. In my mind, you know, to let this narcissistic person back into my life, because I had made up my mind 3 years before that. I had thought, there's no way this person's coming back. No way. Right. But then something changed with other people, and things changed with them to a certain degree. And so once I let them back in, it was like my world, all of my thought process collapsed. Right. You know, it's like you made it your mind, and then all of a sudden it's like, who am I now? You know, it all collapsed, where I could have had another avenue to look at it as this is just some person, and I'm just not going to give them the same kind of power that they had before, but they're going to be in my world. You know, I wasn't looking at it that way. I just thought all is over, doom and gloom. It's the end of the world. That was all I saw. I couldn't see anything else. And again, I do think that that's the PTSD brain doing that. I think it's the fight or flight. And, you know, it was like a boat sinking, and there's no way to stop it sinking. So it just was total collapse, when actually there were different avenues on how to look at it. And, you know, just look at it as, this is some random person who isn't well, and I was letting them back in. But I always do advise you guys to not get back in graces with your abuser. You know, I don't advise that. I happen to get back into graces with mine at a boundary. And that's a very key thing. They're very much at a boundary now. But, you know, I always say, don't go back to them. Don't talk to them. And it can be really hard. And it was really hard for me when I wasn't talking to them. It was very strange in some ways, but it was also very good. I needed it. I needed to get away for a while. It was about 2 or 3 years I didn't talk to them at all. And it was very hard, because it can make things very complex with other people in your life. So if there's other people that do talk to them, but you're not talking to them, that can make things really tricky. particularly at weddings and funerals. Weddings and funerals are... A funeral was the first place I saw my abuser after I stopped talking to them. I was like, well, I'm not going to not go to this funeral. So there's certain situations where it can be really slippery. But, you know, it's my point to all this on this episode is that if you are struggling with that moment, that catch 22 situation where you feel like you're just stuck for options or it feels like the end of the world, just remind yourself, part of that is your brain doing that. That's your brain doing it, you know, and we have to use our minds a little bit more and overpower that brain, limiting our options, and use our mind and say, there's at least 10 other avenues here as ways of looking at this. And it's not the end of the world. Let's see what our options are. Let's think a little bit more logical here. Let's think critical, but also let's be logical at the same time. Because I think sometimes that logic is really lacking. Because I do think the critical thinking, we can have so many different ideas that maybe it's almost too much sometimes, and we need that more logical side of our being, of our mind to kick in a little bit. And I do think that that's sort of a phenomena within us, because with complex PTSD, I'm pretty sure most people who have complex PTSD tend to be a little bit more emotional than other people, and our feelings overpower. And that's our brain again. That's that amygdala, that part of your brain that's saying run, 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 fear, fear, fear. So we tend to go with our feelings and our emotions, and it can create a roller coaster, right? So whenever I had those catch 22 moments, I was on a roller coaster of fear, emotions. And, you know, we have to think differently. We have to not ride on all those emotions. We have to have also things in place. So if you ever are going to have a conversation that you know is going to be a big conversation, or it most likely will be a big conversation, have activities in place as backup. So like for me, it could be looking through the magazines regarding my hobby, because my hobby makes me happy. So coin collecting, and learning about the history of coins and everything. The gold rush. I mean, there's all types of stuff about coins. And so having something like that, or planning to go and get a massage, you know, go plan something good for yourself. Plan to treat yourself to, or, you know, watch something really funny on TV. Have a backup. Have somebody that you know you can call or talk to after some big conversation. Because I didn't have any of that at the time. I had friends, but I wasn't going to call them right when this happened, when my mind was just completely racked. That's not something I do. I don't call friends when I'm in situations like that. I normally would go out to eat, or I would go to a movie. A movie usually gets all my stress off my mind. But I don't think at that time I did that. I don't know why. I think I was just stewing in my thoughts, trying to figure things out is what I was trying to do. And it ended up just having like probably a little bit of a nervous breakdown, to be quite honest. Just open your mind up to different avenues and have a backup plan, things like that. But really important, because like I said, it's our brain doing this, and it's shutting out those other options and possibilities. So, you know, realize that there's other avenues and ways of looking at things. And it's not all so simple. It's not all so simple and, in my case, narrow-minded. So that's all. This is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.